Astonishing Grace to the Chief of All Fools by Michael Criswell. Chapter 11, A Time for Testing. After months of searching for an affordable software developer for my online training system, I found one and signed a contract with them in February of 2005. They even offered us flexible payment terms, and my plan was to earn enough money by conducting live sales training programs until the online project was completed. With only $7,000 in our checking account, and with no guarantee that we would receive any more income from my work for the company in Vegas, I wrote the first deposit check on February 11th, 2005, for $6,500 to get the project started. 10 days later, I receive a legal letter and a request for summary judgment against us in the amount of $75,346.13 by one of the finance companies we had leased our gym equipment through. Although I eventually got all the equipment back from LA Fitness, and even though I paid to move it and store it for 6 months until they found a buyer, they still came at us for the judgment. I had the desire to make good on these debts, but I simply could not recover from this kind of loss. My conscience remained clear. First, because the debt was a result of someone stealing my business from me. But even more so, because I was able to give the company all their equipment back to resell, even after I had paid thousands in deposits and monthly payments while we had it. I kept moving forward with my new online business startup, which we named Revelation ITS, or Interactive Training System, while at the same time I was still selling for the company in Vegas and maintaining my accounts. Again, my conscience was clear because he never would honor me with an agent contract, and I had no non-compete agreement either. I kept moving forward in the confidence that I was doing God's will. Now, it was time for him to put some weight on the bar and test me to see if I would stay on course with his will, even in the face of what looked like a lucrative opportunity that was about to pop up. When I was in my early 20s, there was a very wealthy man who lived the truly lavish lifestyle that I had wanted. I met him a few times and had always longed to be able to be around him, in hopes that his ability to earn wealth would somehow rub off on me. That door never opened while I was younger, but now that God was ready to test me, that door was about to swing wide open. As I was launching my live speaking and sales training services in early 2005, I sent out an email to friends and family to let everyone know what I was doing now while I waited for my online sales training system to be built. Soon, I received an email from that very man whom I had dreamed of being able to be around, Brig Hart. Brig is considered the most successful network marketer in the world, and he was now working with a company called Monavi. I had known of Brig for many years. He and his wife Lita are best friends with the parents of one of my best friends from high school in Cocoa Beach, Florida. So I had met him several times since I was in high school. Brig got his start with Amway and is considered the top network marketing leader in the world. He had earned nearly $100 million through his Amway business and by selling books and tapes to his worldwide downline. When I first met Brig, I found him to be an unbelievably charismatic, positive, and likable guy. He was like a grown-up version of me, but on steroids and with lots of money. He knows how to make people feel special like few others could, and I do believe he is sincere as far as I was always able to tell. So here was the first guy I got to know who had a lavish lifestyle and talked about Jesus all the time. And since I too loved God and money from an early age, I had been really drawn to Brig in my early 20s. He set an example for me that made me feel like it was okay to love God and money. I remember going to a small meeting with him where he had on a diamond watch that was worth over $200,000. He took it off and let me hold it. And I remember feeling such covetousness and lust in my heart for that kind of wealth. I believe there is a spirit behind mammon that exploits the already high human lust for it. I think that's why wealth can be so intoxicating and why people will even murder someone for it. Just last year, I heard from two grandparents who lost their daughter to a husband who was now suspected of poisoning her for her life insurance money. There seems to be an invisible power behind mammon, a dark power. I think this is part of the reason why the Bible says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And I see how God uses it to be the greatest tester of men's hearts, especially Christians. I only saw Brig occasionally after high school, but he first connected with me in a significant way after I launched the Lord's Gym. He was starting a new network marketing company called Ultimate Success and was trying to bring making money and spirituality all into one. I allowed him to come and do one of his first meetings at our gym. He drove down in an RV and parked overnight in our gym parking lot. Going inside his luxury RV stirred up those old covetous desires for material prosperity again. Brig was impressed with the idea of the Lord's Gym, and I remember hoping he might want to invest and help bail me out of the mess I was in. Fortunately, he wasn't interested in investing in the gym, and soon thereafter, he pulled the plug on his Ultimate Success MLM because it never gained traction. After that, I lost touch with him for several years, but occasionally received updates through my best friend from high school. When I sent that email out to friends and family in early 2005, letting them know I had started my own online sales training and speaking company, Brig contacted me again. He had joined a new network marketing company called Manavi, which was built around the distribution of bottles of acai berry juice. He told me it was going to be a huge success, and that he wanted to talk to me about providing his distributors with my sales and people skills training. I was excited about having another client with ongoing income potential while I was building my online training system. He wanted me to do a presentation for all the executives and top distributors from multiple countries to see if my training was a fit for Manavi. I was not scheduled to speak until the afternoon, but I attended the entire function to learn as much as I could about the company. At lunch, I noticed that all the important people were all sitting with each other at a huge table. They had saved a spot for me, but as I was walking towards it, I saw a lady sitting all by herself with no one to eat with her. I decided to join her and asked her why she was there. For the next 30 minutes or more, I listened to this lady describe nothing less than a destructive addiction to network marketing. Manavi was her seventh network marketing company, and at one point, she said with such desperation, "Michael, this one has to be the one for me. My ship has to come in with Manavi. I have lost everything, even my family, and I have nothing left if this doesn't work out." She had run off all her friends and family because of her addiction to network marketing. To me, she didn't seem much better off than a heroin addict. I walked away from my lunch feeling conflicted and almost dirty, thinking to myself, am I, as a Christian, going to be helping people like that stay in something like this? I already didn't like network marketing and didn't believe it was a godly business, as evidenced by my unwillingness to be a part of the network. And yet, I was more than willing and excited to be paid to teach people how to sell so they could do it. This lunch encounter created a small seed of internal conflict with my conscience, but it wasn't going to sting for long because of what was about to happen. To show you just how pathetically weak and insecure my character was, and how enticed I still was by money, I will share an email that I wrote on February 28, 2005, to a client who asked how my talk went with Manavi. "Hey Doug, thanks for asking how my speech went. I'm copying this to update a few of my friends as well. You wouldn't believe me if I told you. It was incredible. I was the second to the last speaker at the end of the day on Saturday. It was 3:45 p.m. when I got started, and I only had 30 minutes in which to prove to the audience that they were all in, quote, sales, whether they believed it or not, and then get them to understand and hunger for the skills they needed to be more successful with people and in business. With God's favor, I was able to pull it off. You should have seen it. I caught them all off guard with a series of questions, and then I threw them into an exercise where I made them all stand up and pair up with someone they didn't know. I then told them that they had 90 seconds to sell the other person a bottle of Manavi as best as they knew how. Everyone participated, and it proved to be an enlightening experience to them all. Needless to say, the second they all sat down, they were very interested in hearing what I had to say. When the convention ended, I had people coming up front, standing around me for almost 30 minutes like I was a celebrity or something and wanting to speak with me. Each one with an amazing compliment and each one hungry to find out if I had written any books or recorded any programs where they could get more of the information. It was like I was dreaming or something. Two doctors from West Palm Beach, Florida came up to me and asked if I'd ever be interested in coming down there to help a bunch of doctors that are hopeless on their selling and people skills. It was unreal. I was so humbled to hear what people were saying, and I was so excited to see how eager they were to learn more. I found out that many network marketing companies are good about teaching people about the product and about the compensation plan, but don't offer many resources on basic selling and people skills. The people were so hungry for it. I was doing this engagement for free so they could see if I was a fit for their organization. They invited me to dinner with the CEO, Dallin Larson, that night, along with a few of the doctors and my friend Brig Hart, the legendary networker. They gave me compliment after compliment. And before dinner was over, they scrounged up $300 in cash from a few of the people sitting next to the CEO, and they put it in an envelope and gave it to me as a little honorarium and a token for their appreciation. It was so funny. I thought that was very nice after I had agreed to speak for free. Anyway, the best news came yesterday, the day after the event. I got a call from my friend Brig, and he told me that I had been officially invited to speak at the national convention in Salt Lake City in June. Better yet, the CEO, the doctors, and the directors have all decided to, quote, brand me to the company and make me the official motivational / sales trainer for the entire Manavi company. Unbelievable! Somebody pinch me over here! Could this really be happening to Mike, quote, I got my face kicked in Criswell? Brig called me up and said, Mike, I know what your dreams are because you told me, and they have just been realized. He and I are going to be meeting frequently over the next 2 weeks to discuss a training strategy rollout and create some products like CDs, tapes, virtual training, etc. My training is going to be made available to the entire Manavi organization, which has just launched in 5 countries. I'm absolutely thrilled to death and can't imagine what might come out of this. This is exactly how my hero Zig got started in his career, with Mary Kay, and my buddy Brig used to book Zig all the time for his conventions. Talk about being in the right place at the right time. Fortunately, that's the end of that email. At that time, I was still blinded to my insecurities, and my ever-present need to prove to others that I was not my last failure. I was still very susceptible in the flesh to the temptations which came through the accolades of men. They praised me for the very things God was going to one day show me were detestable to Him. I still couldn't see how God viewed sales training and motivational speaking as a false religion of self. I even thought He was pleased with my performance and that He was giving me favor simply because men praised my talents so much. These things are so humiliating to look back on and read. And yet, they not only continue to show me the depths of God's compassion and patience to those who love Him, but more importantly, His ability to transform a human heart. Sadly, I don't remember having any lasting concerns about the lady I had lunch with after my meeting went so well and I received such praise. This shows the war between the spirit and the flesh, and how easy it is to be enticed by money and the praise of men away from our Christian values, and how quickly we can begin to justify ourselves. This is so very deceptive and dangerous. Not too long after that meeting, Brig invited me to come stay at his home for a few days near Jacksonville, Florida, so we could plan things out. Once I was there, he told me he had been praying and knew God had blessed him with this opportunity, which was going to explode. He told me he reserved a position high up in his network for me that would practically guarantee that I'd be a millionaire. In addition to that, he said he wanted to make me his next Zig Ziglar at the Monavi conventions. In spite of all the enticement and my desire for some good money, I still wasn't giving in to being in the network, and something else happened in my spirit when I was at his house. Hearing and seeing all the stories of his past wealth, and seeing how excited he was about making all this new money in Monavi, and hearing all what he was going to do with it, actually started to put a fear in me. It sobered me up. Instead of making me want it more, I started feeling like I was in danger, even perhaps standing on the very edge of losing my purpose in God. Brig had all the right words and passion, and he believed God was blessing him with all this material wealth. I had been very tempted, but he could tell that I was starting to feel some pushback against his belief in the prosperity gospel. He spoke of helping more people come to Christ, and of course all the orphans that were being helped in South America through this great company. In other words, he felt this justified the whole thing and made it God-approved. But no matter how much he talked about Jesus and the orphans, I was no longer able to reconcile the true spirit of Christ with this much desire and the pursuit of worldly wealth. I felt such strong temptations to just cave in and please him, and because I needed a lot of money. But I stuck to my guns and politely told him that I was 100% done with network marketing. He said I'd be walking away from a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and that many, many people would give anything to have the network position he was offering to me. He honestly couldn't believe I was saying no. Luke 12:15. Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. It is a good thing to help the poor, and I can't judge a man's hidden motives. But I can judge a tree by its love of money. And to me, all the Jesus talk and the orphan donation seem like a cover-up for the real motive, money. I think the little poor children they are helping and posting on their websites are there to ease everyone's consciences, including mine, or to simply keep people from saying what they already know in their heart is true, quote, it's all just about money, unquote. I can tell you for a fact that all the children we had adopted through World Vision when we owned the Lord's Gym often quieted my conscience when it tried to tell me that this was all really just about making money. Never mind the fact that Jesus said in Matthew 6:4 to let your giving be done in secret and not to be seen by men on your websites, brochures, or in my case, the gym walls. The fact is, this technique works too well for these MLM companies not to use it. Just as a person's conscience is starting to speak up, here comes the pictures of the little black children in Africa getting clean water to drink as a result of this money-loving pyramid scheme. Those pictures shut the voice of conscience right up. I think if we want to see what a godly man's motive and a lifestyle looks like when he truly loves Jesus and truly wants to help orphans, we can read the autobiography of George Mueller and see a totally opposite example. According to my biblical understanding today, no amount of generosity will justify before God the love of money in a man's heart. Even Judas Iscariot spoke about and gave money to the poor. John 13, verse 29. Luke 16:14 through 15. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." I cared about Briggs' soul and was concerned after seeing up close and personal this strong love of money. The next morning, he and I were both on his porch reading our Bibles, and I felt this strong desire and courage to confront him about his relationship to money. I said something to the effect of, "Brig, have you ever wondered if God is jealous of this money? And have you ever wondered when enough is enough?" Although I can't remember his exact words, he was very calm and relaxed in his response. But my question was the straw that broke the camel's back in our relationship. He had already booked me to speak at an upcoming Montevideo convention at the World Golf Village in Ponte Vedra, Florida. But that morning on his porch, Brig Hart wrote off Michael Criswell as a team player. He now knew I was only going to get in the way of his prosperity gospel. 1 Timothy 6:5 through 10. They are men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I know God allowed this division to happen after he tested my heart by exposing me to this kind of wealth and opportunity. Then, once he saw that I made the right choice in my heart, he made a way out for me so I wouldn't have to repeatedly struggle with this temptation anymore. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. A few months later, after I fulfilled that speaking engagement for them, and Brig and I were no longer keeping in close touch, I was having lunch at a restaurant in Orlando when I overheard someone talking about these audio CDs by a guy named Michael Criswell with Mana V. I went over and introduced myself and found out that Brig's partner website was selling them. I contacted Brig and he said he would cut me a check once he calculated how many had been sold. To my knowledge, I never received a check, but I don't hold that against Brig. I'm sure he was so busy and that it was simply an oversight, or perhaps it might have been an insignificant amount of money. In the end, as nice of a charismatic personality as he is, I believe Brig Hart is the ultimate poster child for one of the counterfeit gospels called the prosperity gospel. I believe that he is missing out on the true spiritual riches in Christ and is trading them for material riches that will not last beyond the grave. However, Brig might just as easily believe that I'm the poster child for the poverty gospel and that I'm the one missing out on all of God's blessings in the here and now. After all, Brig was right in predicting that Mana V was going to explode in revenues. In just a few years, he quickly took the company to over $1 billion in annual revenue, and he made himself untold millions. I'm confident that just as he said, I too would have made a few million. As for me, I made the choice and took my stand for spiritual treasures, not temporal treasure. With God's help in those days, I proved to myself that I had a new level of character and that money's grip on me had been loosened. To me, there is no wealth in the world that can replace that feeling. As Thomas A. Kempis so rightly said, the richest man in the world is not the man who has the most, but rather the man who needs the least. Revelation 3, 17 through 18. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. This part of my story reminds us that not all doors which God allows to be opened are meant to be walked into. God will often intentionally allow doors to relationships, education, careers, business, money, church, ministry, support, and other desirable opportunities to be opened in order to test us to see if we will simply grab what we want or if we will stay the course and wait for His counsel. This was one of those exact tests for me, one of many more to come. And you would not be reading this book had I not passed. There's a scary story in 1 Kings 13 that reminds me of the story I just shared with you. Through a young man of God, God spoke a cursing against the altar which King Jeroboam was standing near. When Jeroboam got angry at the prophet's word from the Lord, he reached out to seize him, but his hand shriveled up. The king repented and asked the prophet to pray to God for him. He did, and the king's hand was restored. Then the king invited him to come to his palace and receive dinner and a gift. The young prophet declined because the Lord told him specifically to stay on the path and not to turn back from it. He obeyed the Lord and stayed on the path. Then an older prophet came and found the young prophet and asked him to come and eat with him. But the young prophet again said no. This time, the older prophet explained that he too was a man of God and that an angel told him that it was okay for the young man to come with him. The young prophet then agreed and went with him. While eating their delicious meal, The older prophet receives another word and tells the young man he has disobeyed God. Shortly after leaving the older prophet's house, the young man of God was killed by a lion.